This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The full Senate takes a late-night confirmation vote for Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth. He's expected to be confirmed after a swirl of misconduct allegations as new details emerge. ABC's Olivia Rubin with more.
Sources tell ABC News Pete Hegseth paid a woman $50,000 to settle a sexual assault claim in 2017. Hegseth has said the allegation is false and the encounter entirely consensual. His attorney saying he only settled because he feared his career would suffer if the allegations went public.
Republicans can only lose three votes without Democratic support. President Trump expected to sign an executive order today to establish a task force charged with reviewing FEMA and recommending changes. Two sources with direct knowledge of the order tell ABC News he's traveling to California to get briefed on the deadly wildfires. Winds expected to ease in L.A. today and rain expected in the region this weekend. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A federal grant will allow La Crosse County to study how to improve railroad crossings in Bryce Prairie. To get there, there are two county roads that cross the same BNSF rail line. County officials said that there are about 4,000 crossings per day by vehicles, while there are 32 crossings by trains. Officials are trying to figure out how to avoid closing both roads each time a train crosses. The $728,000 grant will add to the $182,000 put up locally for the study, which could take a year and a half to complete. Nobody is hurt after a fire damaged part of a hotel in Black River Falls on Wednesday. Fire officials said that the fire happened in the laundry room of the SureStay Plus by Best Western at 8:50 p.m. Wednesday. Heavy smoke spread throughout the hotel from the fire. Five fire departments were called to put out the fire, which was kept to the laundry room. The hotel was safely evacuated, and crews worked to ventilate the building after the fire. The cause of the fire is under investigation. At Arcadia to the list of area school districts going to referendum. The district is seeking a four-year operational referendum at a total price tag of $3.75 million to cover the cost of paying for staff and facilities. 92 districts statewide so far have committed to a referendum this spring, five in February, including Mauston, and 87 more in April, including Arcadia, Bangor, Cochrane, Fountain City, DeSoto, Holman, Independence, Melrose, Mindoro, New Lisbon, Prairie du Chien, Viroqua, and Whitehall. This year's Green Bay Packers tailgate tour is coming to the Cooley region. The Packers announced yesterday a series of stops from April 8th through the 12th, which will include a stop in Onalaska on April 10th. The Onalaska stop is hosted by the Hunger Task Force at the Stony Creek Hotel. Tickets for the stop are available on the Hunger Task Force website. Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, Lucas Van Ness, Amon Green, Jermichael Finley, John Michaels, and Mark Murphy will appear on the tour.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
The Bucks beat the Heat. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won their fifth game in a row, 125-96 over the Miami Heat. The Bucks didn't get back to Milwaukee until less than 3 hours before the game after being stuck in a blizzard for 3 days in New Orleans at the team hotel. Damian Lillard led with 29 points and had a pregame speech before the tip-off.
The situation that we were in, you know, the last couple of days is obvious, but you don't want the room to just be quiet and everybody to just kind of go out there and see what's going to happen. So for me, I just wanted to put that energy out there, like, you know, nobody gonna feel bad for us. Ain't no excuses. I don't want to hear I'm tired or I ain't feeling like you got to take the opportunity for the team to even have that type of mentality away. As a leader of a team, you got to let the team know off the rip, like, we not doing that. We not having excuses. I don't care about the flight. I don't care. We've been in a hotel. Like, you got to take that away from the team.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the low 30s. Near 30 and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing through the 30s, even a few 40s. Currently 21 degrees.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
The dismantling of diversity, equity, and inclusion under Donald Trump has already begun. On the next show, we'll talk with Dr. Eva Martinez-Paulus about what DEI really is.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Happy, happy Friday to us all. Jazz Dizel, co-host today, James Santel, U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jess P.S. on the board. Jim, welcome, man.
Always great to be here, and there's plenty to talk about, isn't there?
Yeah,
isn't there?
I know. So, Jess wants us to talk about the election concerns, but yes. I don't want to go there right now. I want to be a little more prepared for that conversation. Maybe we'll promote it and prep it and get PJ and Tom and Cam and folks to join in and give us do the homework for them, man. Send me something.
Tell us what's really going on in America. right.
And then we will have an informed discussion about it. Because, Jim, you actually volunteer at your local polling.
I do for a number of years, and believe it or not, I have another title, and it's assistant election chief inspector is his assistant. So for whatever, I can't even articulate what the title is, but it involves monitoring and accomplishing polling in one of the municipalities.
I've seen the office, man. Is it assistant to the manager or assistant manager?
Right, it's one of those two or three.
All right, so you have like dirt on your boots kind of information. You've been there, you've done that. So anyway, folks, we will get there, Cam, Jess, but just not today. well, maybe next week we'll roll that one out. I want to continue talking about the changes over at the DOJ. You used to work there, right?
I did for about 30 years. That's how old I am.
Man!
Yeah, it's a long time.
30 years of that crappy job?
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
Would you go back in these circumstances, Jim?
I would be fascinated to go back just to see how this all devolves. And candidly, there are times when I look at this and I think, gosh, thousands of people invested an awful lot of time, resources in this, and I think there are an awful lot of people inside Maine Justice and beyond, like me, who have left Department of Justice to do other things now, who are looking at that and saying, what's happened? And is this not, it wasn't all for naught, but the basic structures and institutions are falling away, and are there traditions and the rules and regulations no longer being followed? That includes one of those that really caught my eye, which is that you've got the chief of staff for the department, a person named Chad Mizell, issuing a memorandum about the Civil Rights Division. Eric Holder, my boss, once says the Civil Rights Division is the heart and soul of the department. The other divisions would probably take a bridge to that, but still. Basically, Mizell says there's a litigation freeze on all new civil rights cases. That's broad. That's housing. That is voting. That is employment discrimination. That's police cases. And in that context also says, by the way, we're freezing department activity on consent decrees, those things that are already in place or that are being resolved right now that address police misconduct, practices, bias, all those kinds of things. Let's freeze all of those so we can review them in this new administration. Civil Rights Division, basically today, probably in some things that are small and minor with respect to individuals, not that those are insignificant, big picture issue right now, Civil Rights Division, full stop right now in America.
Wow.
Huge.
How many How many attorneys? What's the staff in that department? What are we talking about? Like, you know, actual like personnel.
Right. I would guess you're approaching 1,000, not just at Main Justice, but there are civil rights attorneys around the country. Here in the U.S. Attorney's Office, Eastern Wisconsin, there are attorneys who work on those kinds of things. There are great numbers of civil investigators as well. The FBI has responsibility for investigating civil rights violations. So the numbers, frankly, are probably much larger than that very broad estimate.
Right.
And the consequences of this, think about that, putting aside the significance of stopping. If you are a police entity right now and you're in the course of negotiating, again, in cooperation, the reforms that should happen inside a law enforcement entity, and the department comes along and says, you know what, we may not be doing that anymore. Let's full stop on that. And sending the message once again to you as a law enforcement entity and others out there, the department may well be going out of the business of doing consent decrees, doing pattern or practice investigations with respect to law enforcement in America. We don't know that yet, but we're putting the hold on all of that right now so that the Trump employees, the Trump attorneys can come in and make that decision. No less significant, halting all new civil rights cases or investigations. Stop. Whatever you're doing, don't pursue those anymore. And stop all that Biden and, frankly, even Trump 1 investigations that were going on. All that brought to an end by virtue of this is a decision obviously coming from the White House, but issued by the chief of staff inside the Department of Justice.
Damn! James yes. Santel, yes. Former U.S. attorney. Tell me more. A little quick internet search here. Jurisdiction of the Civil Rights yep. Division. Voting Rights Act. Equal Credit go. Opportunity. Americans with Disabilities. National mm-hmm. Voter Registration. Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Hate Crimes Prevention. Uniform Overseas Citizens Absentee Voting Act. Voting Accessibility for the Elderly and Handicapped. Civil Rights of Institutionalized Persons Act. It goes on and on and on. Now, if I'm understanding this correctly, anything to do with any of that kind of stuff, if it wasn't already in process, it is now. They're not taking any new orders.
At least we're freezing it all, right? And don't go ahead and investigate further, and certainly don't go ahead and file anything new. Don't go into the federal district courts where you enforce all of those things and more. Those you stop. Again, not to say we want you to burn them and destroy them, but we're going to take a look at all of those. I hate to invoke the phrase case-by-case analysis because we know that didn't go well earlier this week with respect to pardons, but that's the message right now being sent to civil rights attorneys, frankly, all Americans, that your civil rights division, the heart and soul of the department, is not dark, but the lights are being brought down.
Wow, so good to know that yes. all those problems that were there
mm-hmm.
were just not a problem anymore.
Right.
Just don't worry about it. Yeah. Jim, what about the memo, apparently a 3-page memo, yes, also created by the Department of Justice, essentially saying what? Local prosecutors, if you don't bend the knee, bend to our will, do what we tell you to, you yourself mm-hmm. could be subject to prosecution.
U.S. attorneys, you need to investigate maybe even criminally prosecute law enforcement officers, state and local, who decline to enforce the policies and practices of the president in connection with immigration issues.
Is that in their purview, Jim?
Here's what is and what is not in the purview here. This is Emile Beauvais. Forgive me for this digression, but you know where he comes from. He was the one who was seated next to the president on his right about, a couple of weeks ago today, I believe, when the president was being sentenced in that Manhattan courtroom. This is a private attorney of the president who is now the acting deputy attorney general of your United States of America.
Are you telling me he's a DEI hire, Jim?
You know, I am not saying that. But nonetheless, part of the defense team, again, you can make those decisions. I'm not indicating that he is not qualified. But again, as we've talked before, that should give you some pause that he plainly has an attorney-client relationship with the man who's now giving him directives from down Pennsylvania Avenue about doing these things. And so Emile Beauvais, again, he's in charge. Because right now the incoming attorney general, we know that her name is Pam Bondi, has not yet been confirmed. We've also got his boss, who is Todd Blanche, who is the other fellow sitting on the right side of the president sentencing.
Just think about this for a moment, folks. I mean, this is really, if you just step back just for a minute, I know because we're always in it, we're always looking around, but if we were like looking at the snow globe instead of being inside of it, the convicted felons attorneys are now running DOJ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right.
Wait,
right.
What?
Right. And again, my concern with the subject of an awful lot of analysis down there as well. They have had this attorney-client relationship. And because of that, they know things we should never know. We will never know what the president, now the president, has said to them when he was a private person.
That relationship does not cover illegal acts, Jim.
It does not. Exactly.
Yeah.
And if, for example, to go down this road a bit, since you've opened up the door, my colleague and friend, if you've opened the door, and I don't know how this would play out. But again, the lesson of recent history is expect the unexpected, right? If the president at some point says or does something that they, in the context of their attorney-client relationship, know to be false, to be wrong, they are then conflicted now because, again, they cannot come forward and do that. But they're representing
when
now
when they take
client.
The job, though, do they no longer represent?
Absolutely. That's absolutely clear. They cannot represent the president in his personal or even in his executive capacity. That's somebody else. That's White House counsel that may do that. And then their private attorneys as well. The fact that this is happening, they're plainly successful attorneys. You have to give them that, right? Well, they have been successful in doing this and keeping Donald Trump out of jail, a sentence that basically is a nonsense.
You know, sandbagging isn't really great a thing. If it wasn't for the election, this guy'd be convicted and doing his own thing.
Be.
So
he
it is.
Be,
I mean, I hear what you're saying. Yes, they showed up and did the thing, and you know, apparently maybe got paid by the boss. But the only reason Donald Trump isn't right now being on trial or convicted is because he won the election.
Absolutely. And the reality is that, remember, that they actually have now, having said what I said, they actually lost that trial. Remember that this is a conviction in which they defended the president. And they again, bottom line is they kept him out of prison. Right. Different result completely. And November 5th gone in the opposite direction. Emile Vauvé now in charge right now until these others take positions above him. He'll eventually become something called the Principal Associate Deputy Attorney General. Talk about titles, right? Called the pay dag. Keep that in mind, the pay dag. But right now, he's keeping the lights on at the Department of Justice, and he's the one who's sent plainly on behalf of the White House, which again is a great concern, right? He sends this memorandum to all the U.S. attorneys who are both presumably acting U.S. attorneys. There are probably still some U.S. attorneys held over from Sunday and Monday under the Biden administration, and he's telling them basically that when it comes to what the president wants to do in terms of immigration enforcement, if you find people in the state and local law enforcement officers around you that are questioning what we're doing, doing pushback on this, who are, again, this is my central point, who have always been a part of task forces, who are cooperative in law enforcement, if they're pushing back, you open files on them, you investigate them, and yes, indeed, maybe, just maybe, you need to present some evidence of their crimes, whatever that would be, to federal grand juries to address them. This is not only a setting in terms of just basic process, but it undermines the entire mechanism through which we enforce the laws cooperatively in state and local and federal offices. Hugely, hugely troubling.
That seems very troubling. So your replacement here in Wisconsin as a U.S. attorney, before when we come to break, get back from the break, Jim, I want to kind of dive into that, like, practically speaking. I mean, we have a huge Latino population here in Milwaukee, certainly in the state of Wisconsin. You know, we got lots of farm laborers that are undocumented immigrants. Like, what happens if the local cops or local sheriffs, or they don't get involved, or should they get involved? And what kind of pressure can be brought to bear? And what kind of liability do those folks potentially have? That's a great question, Jim. I'm glad you asked it. Come back with us. 855-752-4842. More with James Santel, former U.S. attorney.
Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. At JSPS on the board, we got James Santel. He's a former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, a law review right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joining me at the table, talking specifically right now about the new memo coming from the DOJ, threatening local law enforcement officers and folks if they don't do what they're told, I guess, by the DOJ, that they themselves could be prosecuted somehow, somewhere. So I just want to, it seems very strange to me to have, cop-on-cop violence, you know what I mean?
But
let me kind of, break it down. You were here in the state of Wisconsin, in the Eastern District, right?
Exactly. Right.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, this would be a mandate from the head of the DOJ telling you, James Santel, you need to coordinate with local Milwaukee police officers, mm-hmm. let's call it, right. And go raid, you know, the restaurant down here. There's a bunch of, we think there's a bunch of migrant, workers there, all that. If you endeavored to do so, and some of those police officers that are doing that have other things to do. Cars are getting stolen, you know.
Other priorities
that are not immigration. Immigration is specifically a federal responsibility.
By the way, that's in the Constitution, right?
What Constitution? Right. Was there another executive order that took that away? Okay, so acknowledging that. And certainly the other priorities and the reality of life of regular law beat officers doing what they do in the communities that they are in.
What happens? What would they do?
Are you gonna cuff Sergeant what Jim happens? Because right. he didn't go up and do what you wanted them to do at the restaurant?
Right. 6.5 years as the court-appointed and president-appointed U.S. attorney. And on a regular basis, we have what are called task forces. Every single district has them, county, state, federal department. We sit around tables, not in the public domain. An awful lot of people would love to know what those conversations are about.
Yeah.
But we coordinate among each other, right?
Because so federal officials, state officials,
absolutely.
Local officials.
Absolutely. The sheriff is sitting to my left. The local police officer, the chief is sitting to my right. Small municipalities, larger counties. We're doing all that because the goal ultimately is the safety and security of the people of the state of Wisconsin, the people of the United States of America. And are there times, in fact, when a law enforcement person would look at me and say, Jim, I can't do that for these reasons, right? And the answer will be, can we do this? Can we possibly accomplish this? That's cooperative law enforcement. I think back to August 5th, 2012, when we had this horrific shooting at the Sikh temple.
Oh, yeah.
Horrific event. You know what happened in Wisconsin? We had federal and state and local authorities swarming to Oak Creek, again, voluntarily. If there was any problem, it was coordinating all the cooperation.
Yeah,
on
right.
That,
everyone
right?
wanted to do something.
That's
yeah.
what you want to have happen here. And this sends a chilling message to our local and state partners. that says basically if you sit around those tables or you call me up and say, you know what, I need to defer to other things right now in my own jurisdiction. Frankly, I need more clarification on what I'm supposed to do, because once again, as you well pointed out, immigration enforcement is a federal matter. You've got the attorney general in Colorado saying the federal government, now local law enforcement, is responsible for enforcing federal immigration laws. Here's Katie Hobbs of Arizona. She says this memo is a distraction. I refuse to let political games get in the way of ensuring the safety and security of every Arizonan. You can say that, Dom, about every single state in America. And that's why this is so incredibly not just upsetting and disturbing, but also contrary to the basic ways in which the Department of Justice has worked. Now, are there responsibilities of U.S. attorneys to enforce the law? You bet there are. And if somebody engages in a particular act that is in violation of the federal criminal code, we have, in fact, sometimes indicted law enforcement officers for violating the civil rights of people. There you go once again, right? Or doing something else. That's different from this.
Apparently they can violate the civil rights now because there's no one home at the department anymore.
Exactly. And the upshot of this is, once again, as the governor of Arizona said, this is politics. This is to let you know that I'm instructing now my U.S. attorneys to do this. If I were the U.S. attorney, again, we've got this going on right now around the country, but especially in Chicago, which may or may not be now on the top of the list. And the phone call rings, and the call is, we understand that there is somebody in Lake County, in Cook County, in McHenry County, who is saying some things in the media that we don't like and pushing back. We want you to open an investigation, open a file, Mr. or Ms. U.S. Attorney, on that person with whom you are otherwise cooperating and providing safety and security. You've got three options. Number one, you can say yes, and you can open that investigation, opening all the kinds of concerns that we've talked about on this broadcast in the past, that chilling effect of just the investigations of people, right? May not be in the public domain, but the investigation itself can be the punishment. Number two, you can say, no, I'm not doing that. And then you wait for the next phone call, which will almost certainly be, you are now fired. Because as U.S. attorneys, by the way, you're at-will employees. I was no longer a civil servant. Or number three, you resign. And you say, I cannot support this. It'll be fascinating to see as this plays out, as these immigration policies get enacted and pursued, the interaction between the Department of Justice, the president, and U.S. attorneys nationwide.
855-752-4842. Callers, be patient. A local twist on this conversation from, oh, look, CBS 58. Now, aren't they the folks that fired that nice weather lady? Here's the reporting. Republicans in the Wisconsin state legislature planning to introduce legislation next week targeting immigration and deportation efforts following the Trump administration's sweeping executive actions. Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told reporters Republicans will unveil legislation that would force law enforcement to cooperate with federal immigration officials carrying out the deportations. A quote from Voss. It's going to require that everyone is going to have to follow the law and cooperate with ICE. He did not provide additional details on the bill. Now, the announcement comes after a couple of police departments in Beloit and Janesville issued statements saying to the residents they will not engage in immigration enforcement or partner with federal officials on mass deportations.
And some of that, to that very important point, is also significant because they may have made the decision as well that is contrary to the law enforcement interests to go after people in their community to chill them, because they also want to ensure that those people feel comfortable in coming to law enforcement to report crime. All kinds of considerations that cannot be legislated by the state or the federal system, or certainly not by the White House, when it comes to making us safe and secure.
Good luck getting Evers to sign that. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. James Santel, JSPS on the board. You folks are on the lines. We'll get to you next. 855-752-4842. Also, we wrap it up the show. Tell me something good. Always end on a positive note. Come back with us.
Listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. After lawmakers approved a bill to overhaul the state's reading curriculum, Tony Evers signed it into law, but the governor told the state legislature on Wednesday during the State of the State address that the funding has yet to be released by the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei-Olson.
In 2023, lawmakers passed a bill to overhaul how the state teaches reading in public schools. The new system is commonly referred to as the science of reading. It's backed by research and focuses more on phonics. It includes new curriculum and materials and hiring literacy coaches for school districts to use when they need to. Schools started this shift for students in 4K through 3rd grade in the fall, but they're doing it without the money they were expecting from the legislature. When it was passed, Act 20 included $50 million to switch to this new method, but lawmakers on the Joint Finance Committee have not released that money. If the $50 million for the new reading materials isn't released by June 30th, it'll go into the state surplus, which is already massive at $4 billion. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
Because Act 20 is law, school districts around the state have to pay for the materials and training on their own without any reimbursement by the state. The State Education Convention wrapped up Friday with a keynote speech by Governor Tony Evers, who echoed many of the statements he made during his State of the State address earlier in the week. That included a call for additional mental health funding for children and a demand for the state legislature's Joint Finance Committee to release $50 million in already approved funding for Act 20, the state's mandated overhaul of public school reading programs. The convention itself featured a number of breakout sessions tied to topics like school finance and referendums, as nearly 100 districts are on the ballot this spring across the state asking local taxpayers for more money to pay for teachers, operations, and facilities. Other popular topics at this year's convention included school safety initiatives, strategies for hiring and retention, communication and marketing, and artificial intelligence. In addition to breakouts, the state's top educators were also recognized during the convention. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. We are hitting the height of awards season buzz. The granddaddy of them all, the Academy Awards, are right around the corner, and the nominations are officially out. Let's start off in the category everyone is on pins and needles about, Best Sound. Just kidding. There's pretty much something for everyone, as 10 films from several genres have been recognized in the Best Picture category. Leading the nominations this year is the foreign film Emilia Perez with 13 nominations. The musical tells the story of a drug kingpin struggling with gender-affirming issues. Close behind Emilia were The Brutal List and Wicked with 10 nominations apiece. Conclave and A Complete Unknown also made an impressive showing with 8 noms each. Rounding out the nominees in the Best Picture category were independent films Nickel Boys, Anora, The Substance, I'm Still Here, and the blockbuster Dune 2. There is your list of movies to check out before March 2. You have 6 weeks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the low 30s. Near 30 and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing through the 30s, even a few 40s. Currently 21 degrees.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. 1 in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
It is the weekend. That means coming up on the show, we'll break down all the news that you might have missed and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Let it go. You spent too much.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review broadcasting live right here on the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Make sure you tune in and get the lessons. I check you out sometimes. Jim, I appreciate you giving us a preview here. So much to get to. I know we're not going to take all your material for tomorrow. Before we move on to the pardons and the callers as well, 855-75-CIVIC. A couple of disturbing headlines brought to our attention. Thank you, Jess, and callers and texters. One from, this one is from the Arizona Mirror. The headline, reports of Navajo people being detained in immigration sweeps sparks concern from tribal leaders. Huh, you don't say. Apparently, here's a quote from the Navajo Nation Council speaker. We now know that Navajo people and enrolled members of other tribes are being detained in Phoenix and other cities by ICE. Reports that we have received indicate that we need to coordinate an operation or some type of response to help our enrolled tribal members here on the Navajo Nation. And here is, and what, 5 days in? We finally got the let me see your papers.
News. 4 days, and this started. I started seeing headlines of this yesterday.
Newsweek: U.S. citizens being told to carry birth certificates amid ICE raids. Wait, what? Just a quick here: United States citizens, including Native Americans, are being warned to carry them after reports of ICE questioning and detaining people this week. One such warning came from the Navajo Nation president. Newsweek reached out to the Department of Homeland Security looking to get a response. What? Now, the post on Facebook came before ICE carried out a raid in Newark, New Jersey, in which a U.S. veteran was reportedly detained by officials along with some American citizens. Oh, detaining some American citizens. Carry your papers. I got my papers for you right here. Mm-hmm. There you go. American citizens, my ass. We had a guy, Mark from Sussex here, saying, oh, I don't care. 89% prove Trump illegal criminals being rounded up. Well, number one, is a person who's undocumented who committed a violent crime? Because I don't consider a person who's undocumented to be a quote-unquote criminal by their nature. Certainly not any more than, I don't know, a bunch of those cats that your president just pardoned. We'll get to that momentarily. And then, Jess, you asked him a question. What did you ask him?
Yeah, how many U.S. citizens are you comfortable with, Mark? How many U.S. citizens are you comfortable with getting caught up in these sweeps? Because they will. United States citizens will be detained. United States citizens' rights will be infringed. How many are you comfortable with?
And how long are we satisfied with their remaining in those detention settings before a judge, a magistrate, can get to them and make the determination, oh, you shouldn't be here? Custodial situations overnight for days, how long is tolerable now in this nation?
Mark from Sussex.
He said,
don't care.
What about when it's you, Mark?
Right. See, Mark, is that short for Marcus? Come on, man. Of course you got to care. You cannot have, I tell you what, I would freak the F out if someone came to me and, you know, sometimes I get a little, you know, got the hair and the hair, hair and the hair. maybe, hey, are you, none of your business. How about that? Go F yourself. That's my answer. I'm not required to show ICE jack squat, man. Am I, Jim?
You are. The answer is no.
No.
If you have done something where there is a suspicion that you've engaged in some sort of criminal conduct, they can stop and talk with you. But we're not talking about that circumstance, right?
We're talking about sweeps.
Exactly. Right.
Citizens getting caught up in sweeps.
Sweeps. Right. Caught up is the relevant notion there. And as to the
to the Civil Rights Division to file a complaint for something like that,
you presumably, I'm hoping the website is still up. I'm so hoping that somebody is there still answering the phone. But at least for now, that complaint that you're going to file is not going to get any new file jacket on it. As to that first story that Jess also sent to us, this is not an unimportant issue either. You quoted from the Navajo National Council speaker, helping our enrolled tribal members here on the Navajo Nation. Those two words convey some meaning. You know what they convey?
What?
That the Native American population in this nation, yes, was here before many of the European arrivals and others from the last 238 years and even before that. But they're also a sovereign nation. Reservations in America, including the 11 federally recognized tribes right here in Wisconsin, they are sovereign nations. Now, that causes, from time to time, some very good things to happen by virtue of sovereignties out there. And it is important to remember that when we're targeting the sovereign nations and the enrolled members of those nations across
sovereign
our country.
Sovereign nation.
Sovereign nations.
Uh-huh. What is the redress for the sovereign nation when another nation unconstitutionally detains their members?
You should be able to go to, your tribal leadership and reach out to, yes, indeed, the Attorney General of the United States of America and say we've got a problem here.
The same guy that just put out the memo that's saying the locals got to support and do this, and the same impetus for people like Robin Voss here, the Assembly Speaker of the State of Wisconsin, to try to get some sort of legislation passed where forcing locals to comply with a perhaps unconstitutional federal mandate.
The incoming Attorney General, her name is Pam Bondi, who also represented the now current president in connection with one of his impeachments. Again, an attorney-client relationship there. That's who's going to be leading the Department of Justice in the days and weeks ahead.
855-752-4842. Let's throw this briefly on the pardons. And I promise we'll get to the callers. I promise. I want to get this out there. Since Mark is so hurt, read my whole response on criminals. Well, you know, I don't have to, Mark. I get your gist. And I don't know what you mean by criminals. So if you have something to say, how about give me a call? 855-752-4842. I'd love to light you up on the air personally. In the meantime, you're so concerned about people breaking the law. The Wall Street Journal headline: Trump pardons the January 6th cop beaters. Law and order? Question mark. Back the blue? Question mark. What happened to the GOP? Question mark. An editorial from the Wall Street Journal. But let me just throw this one out there. One of the pardons. DJ Rodriguez sentenced to 151 months. So you can be seen in video deploying an electroshock weapon against a policeman who was dragged out of the defensive line by plunging it into the officer's neck the night before. That before J6, he promised in a mega chat group, there will be blood. And that's the guy that Donald Trump and Mark thinks are totally awesome and should be released. Tell me I'm wrong. 855-755-CIVIC.
United States Department of Justice does have these statistics. I think they're still online. They may not be there too much longer, right, but you can go there right now. 1,583 people arrested. And according to those figures, 608 of them, 600 of them are in the category of violent offenders. These are not people just visiting.
So
these are
over 30%.
Exactly. 38%, as a matter of
thank
fact.
You, thank you.
Approaching almost, 40%.
Almost 40. I'll round
charged
up.
Charged, like the instance you just described, assaulting, impeding federal police officers. Of that 608, 174 were charged with some aggravating circumstances. What are those, you ask? What are those, you ask? And that involves deadly or dangerous weapon use, inflicting bodily harm on officers. They're now pardoned, and they're back in our communities. And we know that, again, by virtue of those pardons, any restrictions, not only civil liberties, those kinds of things, but the right to bear arms is restored to them. And there are about 1,600 people today, the beneficiaries of these pardons, the commutations of the sentences. Of course, we also know those with respect to those other groups, the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. Those also released from prison. They are now out, at least one of them making a reappearance on Capitol Hill just yesterday or the day before. We've now got a group of people, about 1,600 in number, who have engaged in the most horrific violent behavior. One of the other things I'd recommend to all your listeners, following up on your good point, my colleague, is take a look at some of the videos again that are being posted once again.
My
these
God.
Individuals
yeah. Yeah.
And the beatings, the tasings, the use of the flagpoles, the sticks to beat the law enforcement officers on that day. It is grisly. It is terrifying. If the hair in the back of your neck does not stand up, even again, years later here, it should. It is stunning to think that these people, again, contrary to what the president said, they did not spend years and years and years in prison. Some of them, yes, were sentenced to years in prison. They're now all being released by the Bureau of Prisons in the federal system.
Unbelievable. 855-752-4842. So if you're going to ask me, hey, Dom, you gotta, what about these people that are here, you know, without their proper paperwork? Well, let me ask you then, what about them? If someone's here working a job, you know, milking the cows in Waukesha County, because I guarantee you there's some labor in Waukesha County that don't have the proper paperwork, living their lives, doing their thing, just
not committing crimes.
Not committing crimes, just trying to do what the rest of us are doing. I think that is a much less priority than, I don't know, the guys that are beating the hell out of the cops. Now, Mark from Sussex, maybe you think that it's okay to beat the hell out of the cops so long as they agree politically, ideologically, with people like you, Mark from Sussex. But I take exception to that. What are the priorities? Well, we know what they are now. You're going to take people that are just sitting working. You're going to do sweeps on folks that are actually employed, paying into a system, get any money out. You know, if you have a fraudulent I-9 and a Social Security number, you're getting wages. You're getting money deducted from your wages for a benefit for not a what'd you call it?
Not an entitlement.
Not an entitlement. You're never going to get that back. So they're already there. And plus, you know, when you're in that situation, you're in an employment situation like that. Well, that hangs over your head. Folks can take advantage of that. So, Mark from Sussex, what are the priorities, man? Violent criminals who attack cops? I mean, if that would be a person who does not have the proper paperwork, an undocumented migrant, sure, absolutely. Get rid of them just like you should get these cats go to jail. But, oh, would Donald Trump then also pardon those violent migrants who attack the cops? How are they different than the violent mob that attacked the cops at the... Oh, that's right. They're white. In D.C., and they're the brown people the other way. I'm sorry. Let's get to the callers. 855-752-4842. Mary from Tulsa. Happy Friday, Mary. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, Don, for taking this call. Gosh, this horror movie is going from bad to worse. Really, really concerning. Until now, I have a question for Attorney Santel. Until now, I have not had the time nor the a need to access Project 2025 for information. But at this time, I'm concerned with what I'm hearing from a comment that Medicare is in the crosshairs for having benefits cut or eliminated as early as April 1st. Would really affect thousands of people. So I'd like to know if you have any knowledge of this. And secondly, how could I access Project 2025 to read up what their intentions were on the subject of Medicaid? Thank you.
Sure, Mary. Absolutely. As to the second issue, it is very accessible. You can go online and you can type in Project 2025, lots of different iterations. It's a big document, by the way. It's huge. So you have to take a look at the table of contents, look under healthcare, look under Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, all those kinds of things. You will find, again, in language that may not be as clear as it otherwise should be in terms of its intent, you'll find language that certainly indicates that Medicare and those so-called entitlements, they're not, may in fact be the target of the coming administration. I haven't seen, as you have, the updates on exactly the implementation of that, but plainly, the other lesson of all of this from the past week is you plainly have the Department of Justice and other agencies that are now being populated, as they should be, with the president's appointees and other employees there. They're beginning to act right now. And so that's why the days and weeks and months ahead should be times of great vigilance for you, and it will be reported by the media as these things come forward. Again, you can simply go online and type in Trump, Medicare, see what he is saying about that, see what his people are doing in that area.
And thank you for the call. There has been a little bit of reporting on it, 855-752-4842. The New York Times, as of yesterday, one of the things they bring up, talking about a 10% tariff, bringing in some money, also established new work requirements for Medicaid recipients. Apparently, that would bring about $100 billion in savings. So they could just, you know, change the requirements, Jim. They're going to do away with the whole benefit. They're going to change the requirements to get the benefit.
Right.
And how many people are actually already working and getting Medicaid because there's poverty wages out there? I mean, give me a break. 855-752-4842. It's the last segment. Tell us something good, but we'll clear the callers as well. But you got to play along. We're going to take your conversation, and you got to tell us something good. Once again, 855-752-4842.
This. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it? I mean,
things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Let me take you, baby, down to the riverbed. Got to tell you something, go right to your head.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Last segment of the day. Tell me something good. We got some callers. We'll get to you as well. Tell me something good. We'll take the call. We'll take the topic, but you also have to tell us something good. 855-75-CIVIC. Let's start with Gary from Philly. Hey, Gary, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi. My name is Gary. I'm from Philly. Here's the good part. I've been fighting cancer for 24 years.
Wow.
I'm in a very difficult part of the fight right now. Received chemotherapy, but as I like to say to everybody who asks me how I'm doing, I tell them I'm still standing.
There you go.
Right on.
Right on, Gary.
And it's been a rough, rough road. I actually called in response to something that you spoke about earlier, which was the what do we call these moves by the president, person in office? And you said the word weird, and I'd actually like to change that because I think it's far worse than weird. I'd like to call his actions vicious, mean-spirited, malevolent, and merciless because those are the things that they actually are. As someone who's receiving Medicare and counting on it to keep me going, his reversal of Biden's prescription lowering, I forget what the exact
lowering the prescription drug, the cap on it.
Yeah, the fact that he did that was just incredibly mean. And this is going to impact people like me and people not like me who are just ill for no reason of their own except for perhaps the incredible amount of crap we've put into our environment. It's going to impact them in such negative ways, and it didn't have to be done. There's no understandable reason why he did this other than just to be a prick.
I'm going to stop you there. First of all, thank you so much. Keep fighting that good fight, my friend. And thank you for listening and sharing your thoughts with us. And I think you're right. Weird. And of course, that was the term during the campaign.
Walls. Yeah.
And I think you're right, though. These things, they didn't have to happen. And what is the point of all of these things? I question, is the, you know, Big Farm putting money into his pocket? You know what I'm saying? What is the benefit for Donald Trump? Because not just Gary. And Gary, I don't know how you voted. But I'm going to, there's going to be other people like you out there, like all of us, that are at some point going to be reliant on some of these issues, some of these drugs. And all of a sudden, now what? We got to go to pocket just because farm meat needs more money. Gary, that's a tough one, man. But thank you for pointing that out.
A good leader would have taken the words of the bishop at the National Cathedral who talked about the importance of mercy, Mr. President, and taken Gary's account and the account of other people to heart. This president was merciless again and went in the opposite direction.
Bishop Buddy did a hell of a job, and you can tell it's amazing
that's
this week.
Something good.
If there is some, let me give you my something good here.
All right.
The clarity of the fake Christians out there that are just foaming at the mouth from Bishop Buddies asking for unity and mercy and understanding
decency.
Mm-hmm. That as far as I know, and I'm not a religious man, but I think that's kind of the stuff I was taught in religious school when I was in high school that Jesus said. So if you're a Christian and you get mad at what this other Christian says to your leader, because she sounded, what, like Christ or too woke? I guess I'm not clear. But if you ask for mercy and you are rebuked for it, that is a problem of the person doing the rebuke. Mm-hmm. Come on, people. 855-752-4842. So clarity for me, for the fake Christians, that is my good thing the day. Mark from the SAC, you're next. Welcome. What do you got?
Yeah, thanks, Dom. And for an atheist like you to embrace, you know, Jesus' Matthew 20:25, it just shows just how broad and accepting that Bishop Budd's speech actually was. That it is just, Trump is, you know, and I'm another cancer survivor here. In 2019, they gave me 6 months. Here I am 5 years later.
Yeah, wow. Kicking. Yeah, man.
Good for you.
Trump is a malignancy we need to remove from our body politic, and that... And neutralize him in our body politic. And for all these people, all these Republicans that are going to support him with his attacks on Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, hold them to account in 2026, because little Tommy Tiffany wants to be running for governor. Oh. And Medicare.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate it, man. Glad you're still around, my friend. 855-757. Jim from Madison, you will have the last word of the day. What is it, sir?
Okay, good thing first?
Yes.
Well, thanks to Joe Biden, I had my best revenues that I've had my biotech company ever.
Excellent. Year. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Anyway, so what's the organizer of a crime usually called? Is he more guilty, or does he have a different stipulation than the actual the ones that carried it out?
Right. We often call those people, again, the heads of the conspiracies that bring other people together, enter into an agreement to accomplish an illegal end. That's sort of the definition of conspiracy. But all kinds of different conspiracies, almost all of them have somebody at the hub. You're absolutely right, Jim.
Don't they hold?
Go ahead, Jim.
And don't they have a longer term in jail? Oh,
depending upon exactly what is proved in the court. If they're the ones who are the masterminds, if you will, the people who are directing all this, absolutely. The people at the lower ends tend not to get the high sentences that would otherwise be imposed upon the people at the hub. You're right. Absolutely.
The ones pulling the marionette strings.
Yep.
Thank you, Jim, for playing along. Thank you, James Santel. Former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a Law Review. Check him out tomorrow on Saturday and every Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Jess P.S., for all that you do. Thank you for our fair audience for hanging out, playing along. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you here on Monday. Now stick around. Pete Schwabe from Nightlight coming up next.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Kim Shefchik from Doctors in Recital, and it's a bar band Friday night, which means our pal Terry Barr drops by with new music and sparkling conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In his first week in office, President Trump traveled to North Carolina and California, getting an update on recovery efforts after hurricanes and wildfires. The president arriving in Los Angeles, greeted by Governor Gavin Newsom, both shook hands, but the president has been critical of the state's response to the fires and water crisis.
I appreciate the governor coming out and meeting me, Kevin, very much, and we'll be talking a little bit. We want to get it fixed. We want to get the problem fixed.
Newsom says the state welcomes the president's visit and will need federal aid. The president signaling earlier he is considering getting rid of FEMA and give funds directly to states to handle. The Trump administration's new Justice Department leadership announced today it's curbing prosecutions against people accused of blocking reproductive rights facilities. In a few hours, senators will convene to take up a confirmation vote for Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth. This is ABC News.